Fear can be a powerful motivator. Just ask Colin Sullivan. Played by Matt Damon, Sullivan is a character in the 2006 Martin Scorsese film, The Departed. Growing up, Sullivan is introduced to the world of organized crime by mobster Frank Costello. Over the years, Costello grooms Sullivan, eventually encouraging him to join the Boston Police Department and serve as a mole for the organization. At the same time, Billy Costigan, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, enters the police academy and is recruited by a captain and a staff sergeant to go undercover in the mob. Costigan's family's ties to organized crime make him a perfect candidate for the job, so he subsequently drops out of the academy and serves time for a fake assault charge to increase his credibility. Sullivan and Costigan continue to work their way up in each respective organization until they eventually become aware of each other's existence. They don't know the identity of the other, only that another mole exists. Fear is a powerful motivator, especially when you're afraid of being found out, afraid of what might happen if that comes to pass. Fear is a powerful motivator now, as it was thousands of years ago when the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. So the book of Exodus says the Israelites were fruitful and prolific. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. A new king who did not know Joseph. A king who did not know that many generations before, Joseph and his family had to move down to Egypt in search of refuge and food following a famine. A king who did not know the good and wise leadership that came from Joseph or the ways that he helped the Egyptians. A king who did not know the blessings Joseph and his people brought to Egypt. A king who did not know what kind of blessing Joseph or what the Israelites could be for him. Instead, all that he could see was how prolific and strong these people were. His fear of what could be blinded him to any other possibility. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them and force labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. Fear can be a powerful motivator, often not for good. The new king looked at the Israelites, and all he could see was a threat to his power, to his way of being in the world. And so he dealt shrewdly with them. And in his shrewdness, he created a culture that diminished life, limited growth, and kept people enslaved. But the more the Israelites were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live." Fear is a powerful motivator, even to the point of motivating one to kill when threatened. The story of The Departed eventually gets there. The audience watches as Colin Sullivan, the mole mob who infiltrated the Boston Police Department, sinks deeper into his fear, eventually taking a life and then watching as an ally takes another, scrambling to ensure his own safety above any other. Fear can be a powerful motivator, not just for the characters of The Departed, but for us too. We may not be worried about being discovered as a mole in a crime organization, or at least I hope not. We may lead far more ordinary lives, but I would argue that we lead those lives with a healthy dose of fear. We fear losing a good friend, so we never act on what other feelings might be living below the surface, unwilling to face the possibility of rejection for the beauty of a romance. Or we avoid having a hard conversation with our spouse about something that is dear to us, because we fear what may come after. In a town where politics is a big thing of what we do, we fear disagreement or the possibility that we might lose a good friend. And so it makes us steer clear of talking about politics with whom we know we might disagree. Our fear of having to face our vulnerability, or the fact that we might just be wrong about something, and that there are areas in our lives in which we are utterly powerless, is enough to make us want to build walls and fences around our borders and around our hearts, looking for someone, anyone, anything to blame for the problems of our lives. Fear can be a powerful motivator, but sometimes that motivation is for good. That fear is a good thing. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, when you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him, but if it is a girl, she shall live. But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. The king of Egypt feared losing his power, but these women, these midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, they feared God. They feared the one who multiplies life. They feared the one who values the bearing of fruit, the one who sets people free, the one who wants to be in relationship, the one who only resorts to killing as a last resort to free those who are oppressed. These women knew God and feared what may be if they let those Israelite boys die. So they lie. They tell the king of Egypt the Israelite women are too vigorous, that they give birth before a midwife can come to them. And in doing so, these midwives become the first liberators of the book of Exodus. God begins to work in these women. Women who are as far down the cultural pecking order as one could go. Women who would not have any other power otherwise. Women who are important enough to God to be named in the story, while the king of Egypt is not. God is at work in them. And it is because of them that Moses even has a shot at freeing the Israelites from the tyranny of the king. Fear can be a powerful motivator, especially when it is a healthy respect for what is good and right. God is at work in our fear now. In our fear of what may be if we don't do what is right and good, God is at work to ensure that those who are oppressed go free, working to create life where there is death, working in the space of our vulnerability, giving us the strength to examine our own mistakes and failings, and to risk everything for the sake of life, just as the midwives did. It is this notion that is reflected in this litany from Fran Pratt. May we all be like the midwives, working in quiet devotion or in subversive creativity, those who care for those who carry, those who comfort and calm, those who shift breaches and unblock exits, those who urge us to push when the time is right, those who know when to wait and when to cut, those who catch slippery bundles of goodness as they emerge, those who bind up wounds of effort. May we have the vision of the midwives, who could imagine a future beyond what they could see, and they were willing to risk their lives and reputations to give it a chance to arrive. We thank you for the midwives, for those who are as shrewd as serpents, as innocent as doves, protecting the future as it is born. Amen.